Hi, I'm Janice D. I am a compulsive overeater. Always have been. And at my heaviest, I was 224 pounds. But I'm going to just tell my story and refer to the steps. But my journey is long. So I'm 68 years old now. Came into recovery when I was 40. So most of my life was difficult, and before finding recovery in OA, I had a traumatic childhood. I was neurodivergent with ADHD, and I've recently found out that I have autism, at a time when in this country, in England, well, I grew up in England. It just nobody knew anything about it, and so I was punished a lot at school. I didn't fit in. I didn't feel comfortable. I've actually got ADHD, which means that the ADHD bits are in conflict with the autistic bits. So I've never been happy in my own skin. So I had horrible stuff going down at home. I had horrible stuff going down at school. My siblings didn't like me because we're all from different fathers. I didn't even know I was a half sibling till I was 8. So all of that was difficult. And in those days, I got kind of labelled as a child from a broken home because they didn't understand why I was so what they called naughty, anti-disciplinarian, whatever. But my parents were, had their own problems and inflicted them on the children. There were four of us, four siblings. And so I grew up with difficulties around food, money, work, and relationships. I do consider myself to be a substance abuser because I am a sugar addict. And, I know the jury's. Maybe the debate's still raging about whether sugar is an addictive substance, but it certainly is to me. But I'm also a food addict. Never been anorexic. But anyway, my problems with food, wanting sugar, craving sugar, started when I was very young. We weren't allowed to have things like sweets, cakes, biscuits in the house because my mum thought they were bad for us, but she did put honey in my milk when I was a kid, honey on my dummy when I was a baby. We had sugar, granulated sugar sandwiches, but we weren't allowed the cakes or the biscuits and the sweets. But I used to spend my pocket money. I'd have sixpence a week and I'd spend it on sweets. So it's always been there, it's always been in my life. But I was an active child, I was skinny most of the time. I didn't really start with the dieting till I was 16 and a friend suggested it. And from then on, I was yo-yo, what they call yo-yo dieting. So I was either losing it with some diet or other. And then when I'd got to a desired weight, there wasn't really very much time before I'd start overeating again. So it was quite graceful, up and down and up and down. And then when I was 30 and my father died, and memories of having been sexually abused started to come to the surface after that. And that might be why my disease progressed to the point where I just couldn't do the dieting part of the thing. So then I was just like binging or not binging, but I wasn't dieting, so I couldn't stop eating long enough to diet. I mean, my I started, I didn't know anything about 12 step at all. Or I'd heard of AA, but I didn't know anything about it. So I got this book that said, I filled out all the exercises, and it said you can just eat. You should take all the restrictions away, eat whatever you want, and put your fork down when you've had enough. And it's all because you've been being restrictive that you have a problem, and diets don't work. It was all about diets not working. So me and my husband at the time went off to the supermarket and spent £80 on all the foods that we'd been restricting on. And we thought, yeah, this is really going to work, lifting all the restrictions, it's going to be fab. And we sort of ate it, all of it, within a couple of days. So I was beginning to get a sense of the fact that I was powerless, although I didn't have that language. So I did that on and off for about 10 years. I tried lots of dieting clubs and things like that. Nothing worked, nothing stopped me. Even when I got breast cancer at 39, and I knew that a high fat diet and being overweight was a contributing factor to me having breast cancer, I still couldn't stop overeating. And then after I had the mastectomy and reconstruction, they left me with a surgical hernia, and they wouldn't repair the hernia until I'd lost weight, because I think I told you I was like 224 pounds at my worst. And I was given a sort of incentive, you know, the consultant tried reverse psychology on me, and said, you won't be able to lose the weight. Some girls can't stop eating. And I said, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to come back in, he said, come back in, I think it was come back in 3 months, having lost a stone. And I said, I'll lose 2 stone. And I came back in 3 months and I'd put on a stone. So I really felt like a hopeless case. And somebody I worked with was in AA, and he said to me, I think you're a compulsive overeater. And so that was the first time I'd heard the term. And I thought overeater was a joke word. I didn't think it was a proper word. But I looked it up in the telephone directory. We had it like it was called Thompson Local, and it was a directory of local services and things. And it was in there, Overeaters Anonymous. And I tore out the number from the directory and had it in my purse for about 6 months. But I was kind of scared. And then one day, the children were out on a play date, and it was very significant, this, because the kitchen, so there's a kitchen on the right, and the little, it wasn't a big place I lived in, little sort of kitchen, galley kitchen area, and a little sort of office area. And I was writing by this time, you know, fictional writing, which I really loved, creative writing. And I knew I had 20 minutes before they came back. And so I was standing looking right and left. And then I heard the theme tune to Neighbours on the telly, you know, that Aussie soap. And I thought, well, I can either spend the 20 minutes writing, which I really want to do, or I can put my feet up, watch Neighbours, and have a donut. Because I'd bought 6 donuts for our tea. So there was me and my husband and 2 children. So there were 2 donuts left over. So I thought no one will notice if I have one of those. And I really wanted, and this was the moment where it really came home to me, I really wanted to go and watch and do the creative writing, which would have been healthy. But my suddenly, like a minute later, I was sitting in the kitchen eating the donut. And then I thought, so it wouldn't matter if I had another one, because there's still one each for our tea. So I had another one. And then I thought, well, do you know what? If I eat all of them, nobody will know that we had any donuts for our tea. So I ate all the donuts. So I'd eaten 6 donuts. So then I thought, well, you know, the Christmas tree decorations, and this was in the spring or something, the Christmas tree, I don't think we got round to putting up the chocolate Christmas tree decorations. So I was looking for those in the drawer, and I ate all of them. And by this time, I was in that place, which I expect people can recognize, of like that kind of, they're just, oh, it's just like crazy, insane, gobbling, greedy stuff. And so then I felt great for how long? Not very long. And then I felt the shame and let myself down. It's just, what's the matter with me? Why do I behave like an animal like this? I could tell you lots of stories about being humiliated because people had noticed my compulsive eating. Because I could do it in secret and kind of cope, because I didn't like myself anyway. But when other people saw my behaviour, that was hard. And this really, being overweight, apart from my health issue, it really affected my profession, because I was in a profession that needed me to look good. And I lost work when I got big. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad all round. There was self-disgust, feeling of being out of control, knowing I was out of control. And then, so that day, the thought popped into my head. If, for the first time, if I was to put my fingers down my throat and throw up, then I could actually, I could rewind this. I could make this not have happened. And then I could actually do that every time I want to overeat. So I could overeat any time I wanted and put my fingers down my throat. Well, Princess Di, you'll have heard of her. She'd been talking about bulimia. And there was also a Mike Lee film called Sweet. It had Sweet in the title, but it was twins. And one of them was a bulimic. So I just found out about bulimia. This is the grace of God, because it was like I'd invented it. I didn't really know anybody who did that, but because I'd seen it on the telly and heard about Princess Di talking about it, I knew that there was something wrong with me. And I went and sat on a chair. And I remember I curled my fingers around the chair and I was literally holding myself onto the chair to stop myself running to the sink and throwing up the food. So I think I was very lucky that I escaped going down that road, because I think that's a very, my personal feeling, that's is a very hard road to go down. And I'd never been an anorexic. I could never stop eating long enough to be anorexic, but I just thought this would be a weight control thing. So what I was thinking about that was, if I had this revelation, you know, if there's some, that there's obviously something wrong with my brain here, because this is called bulimia and it's not a good thing. So if there's something wrong with my body, if I have a physical illness, that can be seen and there are symptoms. If there's something wrong with my brain, I might not see it. I was just so lucky that I had just recently heard about bulimia. Otherwise I'd have done that. So I went to my purse and found this number that I'd been carrying around, and I phoned them up, because I sort of reached that point where I thought, there's really something wrong with me. And the lady on the phone, she was the contact number to ring, and she said, do you know anything about the 12 steps? And I said, oh no, I haven't tried that one. Is it like an exercise machine? I thought it was steps where you go up the steps up one side and come down the other. And she said, no, I think you better just come to a meeting and you'll pick it up. So I went to the meeting. First meeting, I started crying pretty soon into the meeting. Also, I went. There was another newcomer there, and that lady ran out the room when she just ran. I went after her because I'm Cody and didn't have any codependency recovery then. And I went after her and said, oh, you know, try, you know, don't go away. And she said, oh, I can't be here listening to people's problems. So she went off. I don't know what happened. I hope she was all right. But I nearly ran out of the room when I looked over someone's shoulder and it said God this and God that and the 12 steps. I've always had an idea of God. There was always God. You know, my mother was a, we had God in the family sort of thing. But I had, my relationship with God had got really distorted in my life. So I when I came in, I had to unravel. I was one of those ones who had to unravel this negative idea of God. I believed in God, but I didn't think God had any time for me or would help me. So I had to unravel that and start again, with my first God being a chair. And
Five
then,
minutes, Janice.
oh my goodness. Anyway, so thank you. So yeah, I somebody said to me at the end of the first meeting, "What do you think then?" And I said, "Well, I feel like I've come home, but it's not a home I want to be in." And she said, "Look on it as if you had diabetes. You'd have to take insulin for that for the rest of your life." And that really helped me. And so at the second meeting I went to, I had a spiritual experience of like a great big hand lifting the roof off of the building and saying, "You can come out now." And it was like I'd been sort of stuck in a cardboard box all my life like this. And this whole thing, this fellowship, OA, the 12 step, God were saying it's over. And that was fantastic. That was fantastic. So, like, for 10 years, I had back-to-back abstinence because my first sponsor was a double winner, and she made me go through the big book. So that was another lucky thing. She kept me on step one for 18 months until I really, really got it. And then I caught abstinence. I was one of those that got it. I put down the sugar. I lost my weight over 2 years. And then I picked up another ism perfectly gracefully. I picked up sex and love addiction. Like, I didn't realize for many years, I've got to talk quickly now. I didn't realize for many years that whenever I put one down, I'd pick another one up. And I didn't get the spiritual recovery that I think I have now until fairly recently. And that was really about me developing a relationship with my higher power. And I do believe that everything that I want to say we, but everything I do in terms of recovery, of using the tools, is all about me reconnecting with God. It's like a power source that keeps me sane and healthy and abstinent. I haven't got time to tell you about the long period of relapse and all of that. And then the deliberately, like going into another fellowship a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and deliberately picking up sugar, having been abstinent from it for 25, 26 years, because they told me that sugar isn't addictive and you should be able to eat anything if you're working a good enough program. Well, it didn't work for me. Once I was back on the sugar, I was out of control again with it in a few months. And it's been hard to get my abstinence back, but I've got something like 300 days now with not eating sugar. I've lost the weight I had regained. I mean, I don't want to be as slim, I'm older now. I think you need a bit of flesh on your bones when you're older, myself. But my weight is God's business, and that's what I always said. Because for me, when I came into recovery, from the very first day of practicing abstinence, the important thing was being free from the compulsion to overeat. It wasn't about my weight. It was never about my weight. Even though I was very overweight and I was very unhappy about being overweight, as soon as I came into recovery, the gift was about not eating compulsively. And so I would say my weight's God's business. And the weight just went away. And I've never fussed about my weight, really. What I fuss about is if I'm eating compulsively. And I can still eat, even though I'm not eating sugar, I can still eat compulsively. When I'm not connected with God, I mean, I put it for me, it's that simple. It's that simple. And the tools are there, and the tools are really great. Phoning people up, doing an outreach call in the middle of the night, which is what a gift. What a gift it is that we have Zoom meetings, and we can contact each other 24/7 now, all around the world. Isn't that fantastic? Anyway, so I'm still on that journey. I've got a wonderful sponsor now, and I'm getting nearly ready to sponsor myself, and I'm very happy bunny today. Very, very grateful, and thank you very much, Kendra, for asking me to do the chair. Thank you.